very interested in this subject, thinking about how to intentionally carve the path of the vision that I think my family ought to have.
So I feel like we're in a very interesting world that we live in today. All the social media based around Instagram flexing and people pretending to be something that they're not, with fatherhood, with all this other stuff that is incorporated in today and the pressure on to be a man. I think that there's a lot of room for people to be misled. And so like, it's exciting for me to hear real stories from real people and real successes and real failures that aren't scared to tell it how it really is.
I can see how this life event, which was living life in the moment and not through memory. So tell me what that looks like in your own family.
Visualization is a big thing that I practice two different ways. What it is I spend about 10 minutes visualizing, and I spend the first 5 minutes visualizing where I was, and that can relate to wherever you want in your life, where I was financially, where I was geographically, where I was mentally, where I was in my business, whatever I'm trying to experience gratitude with. I think about like where I was to where I am.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Today, our guest is Zach Williams. He is a Christian. He's a husband. He's a father. He's also a number one best-selling author, motivational speaker, and a business owner. But today, we're going to talk about his journey as a father. Thanks for being here, Zach.
Awesome, man. I'm excited to be here. One of the things that I say often, you know, family over everything. And it's not just something cliche to us. It's just, this is a life by design. You know, the life that my wife and I have built for our family, including our daughter. And so this is something that I'm very passionate about. And I'm just excited to get like more awareness out there on the topic for sure.
That's awesome. I'm very interested in this subject because I think even I've been thinking about my own life and thinking about how to intentionally carve the path of the vision that I think my family ought to have and how to go about doing that. And that can be really challenging because we often, you know, it's life sometimes is like we're in a valley and we're the river and we're just being pushed down the valley. And it's hard to climb your way out and walk a different path. The river is pushing you along. The sides seem really tall. And I've definitely experienced that or felt that in my own life. And I'm sure you've probably met other men who feel similarly.
Yeah, man. So I feel like we're in a very interesting world that we live in today, you know, with all the social media based around, you know, Instagram flexing and people pretending to be something that they're not, or working harder than someone they're not, or pretending to be gurus and XYZ that aren't even living that type of life themselves, just selling a pipe dream. Men specifically, I think, suffer from just feeling lost now more than ever because they feel like that they are missing something, right? Like, you know, a generation ago, you see fame and fortune, and outside of it being business oriented, it was some sort of a professional athlete or some sort of a performer, like singer songwriter. And so if you either knew you had it or you didn't have it, right? We had these blue collar guys that just kind of knew, like, I'm not getting on the stage and singing in front of people, or I'm not going to be a linebacker in a professional, you know, football stadium. So they just knew it was time to hustle and just grind it out. Whereas now you have all these people faking it till they make it and pretending to be something that they're not. And so now there's this added layer of like, I really am missing something. Like I'm doing something wrong. In reality, most of us probably wouldn't trade lives with some of the people that are pretending to be something that they're not. And so like, I think with fatherhood, with all this other stuff that is incorporated in today and the pressure on to be a man, I think that there's a lot of room for people to be misled. And so like, it's exciting for me to hear real stories from real people and real successes and real failures that aren't scared to tell it how it really is.
Well, let's start with yours. Tell me some of your background. What was your own life like? What's the most impactful thing that you remember that's influenced your fatherhood?
So, you know, something that's pretty wild that had happened to me. So I went through a motorcycle wreck, and I don't know how much time we have to like really dive into this, and I'll get as specific as you want, but it was a wild ride for me around the time of my motorcycle wreck. So if we were to tell the full story without going into too much detail.
You've got time.
Okay. So I was dating a girl, dated her. We were not necessarily high school sweethearts, because I had just graduated. She was in her senior year of high school. We started dating, met at our church. And basically from that moment on, all the way through college and then into our young adult life, like, I supported this girl. We, you know, in my mind, we were in love. You know, she was my first, like, this was like my first, like, what I would imagine is like an adult relationship, even though arguably, who are we at 18, 19 years old? You know, still had a whole life to live. And I did quickly. So come fast forward a little bit where you've been together for 6-7 years now at this point. And she comes up pregnant, and we had been talking about getting married for a few years now. So it's like, this is the perfect opportunity. Got married, had the baby, you know, the American dream, right? Like, I had a career. She was finishing her college degree. We bought the house. We had the cars, you know, everything but the white picket fence. And we found out, I found out, 4 months after the baby had been born, that the baby wasn't mine. And she had known the entire time. The mother-in-law had known the entire time and actually coached her into staying with me just because I was a better choice. And so, like, I went through a really wild mental just nightmare for a long time. Like, didn't even leave my house for quite some time.
Some serious betrayal.
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was very, very rough because, you know, I grew up as, like, you know, I'm the oldest of five. And, like, at the time, still, like, generationally, like, we had those family friends where you'd go stay, you know, a whole week with. And like, I'm very much outgoing, and I like being around people. And so, like, having a family was always, like, something that made sense to me, right? Like, this is the ultimate sense of, like, inclusion and a team, right? And feeling wanted and being a part of something that, you know, it means a lot, that has, you know, quality and quantity to it. And so after I was going through that, I didn't leave my house for over a month, but I didn't really start getting out until a few months later. And in fact, 3 months after this, I had a motorcycle wreck. And I mean, it almost killed me. I coded, you know, twice. I went through 27 units of blood in 9 days. I mean, $1.2 million in medical bills. I mean, it was insane. But the piece between all of this is I had been so lost about, like, what a family was supposed to not only look like, but feel like, you know, to my core, that I had just, like, wrote off the entire idea. To your point, like, the ultimate sense of betrayal. And, like, for me, there was no recovering that. And, you know, there's this wild experience that I went through during my motorcycle wreck. And I say it's only 90 days, right? Or so. It was about 3 months from finding out that the baby wasn't mine to the motorcycle wreck. And so, like, probably anyone could argue that, like, 90 days isn't that whole long to be in this mindset, but to imagine the depths of this dark hole that I was in, I had written off family life forever. Like, there was no future for me in having this life, because I had the motorcycle wreck now, you know, 3 months later. And that just prolonged this feeling of emptiness, because I was in the ICU for 6 weeks. You know, I couldn't walk for over a year. And so 9 months of that year, I was confined to a hospital bed in my living room. So I'm literally stuck in my own four walls with nothing but my thoughts. And so now you're talking about the 3 months that I had, like, really thinking my life was bad, to then experiencing the motorcycle wreck and realizing that it can get deeper. So here you are in this moment where, especially in the hospital, like, even if you are having suicidal thoughts, there's literally nothing you can do to fulfill
it. That's right. You can get them better, and they're not going to let you take your life in the hospital.
Yeah. And so, like, can you imagine, like, such a world of feeling like you're in zero control over anything? Like, you couldn't even take your own life if you wanted to. Like, the one thing that some people feel is the only thing they can control. And so, dude, it was hard and dark, and it was deep. And so, like I said, you know, it was about 12 months or so for sure, like, of being confined to that house and just with my thoughts, that, like, I had written off the entire idea. But now, hindsight being 2020, it's a beautiful way I get to explain this. But when I went through the wreck, I was laying in the middle of the street. And I mean, I'm in a pool of my own blood. I'm literally bleeding out. When they actually came to rescue me, they had to basically flip a coin to decide that if they had enough time to clear the road and land the helivac, if there was enough time to logistically do all that and get me back to the hospital, or if ground transportation could make it back in time without me bleeding out before I made it to the hospital. So like I'm literally dying in the middle of the street. And to this day, I don't know if she's an...
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Angel or not, no one could ever find her after the wreck. No one really has much recollection other than me, but I was laying there with a lady was holding my head. And I'm just looking up into the sky and... You know, it's wild because they, you know, in the movies, you talk about see your life flash before your eyes. And albeit like, you know, that did happen. I did have that experience where I saw all of my accomplishments and everything. And it was all happening, you know, in real time in slow motion. But it was just such an experience. But that, you know, I love everyone that had been into my life up to that point. But that's not what kept me here. There was this new feeling, this something that like I can't explain other than the future that kept me here. It was believing in something that at the time I didn't know how to explain, but in hindsight, like it was this vision of my wife and daughter that I have now that was like desperately holding me on this earth. And so like through that moment and forward progressing towards, you know, developing a relationship with my wife, because we were friends through that motorcycle wreck. And, you know, we started developing our relationship deeper, you know, post wreck. But as I got really introduced to who she was going to be in my life, it started to click. And coming off the wreck, having, you know, lost a testicle as one of the injuries and being told I was more than likely never going to be able to have children. And then the introduction to finding out that my wife, you know, from a childhood trauma as well, was told she probably could never have kids. We just never imagined that this was something that was going to be in the cards for us. And so when we found out we were pregnant, it really solidified that this life that we are literally actively experiencing is the life that like we were meant for. And I think understanding that is what, you know, and I don't think that I'm better than people or whatever the case is, but like, I have a really hard time to myself, and I pride myself on this, and like thinking that I'm a bad father. And I attest a lot of this to the entire experience, both the good and the bad, that I was able to take this away. And it has honestly been the best thing to ever happen to me, to bless me into being the man that I am today, the husband that I am today, and the father that I am today.
That's good. So in that story, you met your wife after the accident and you were dating for a time, or you got together, you said, because of the accident.
No, so my wife and I had been best friends up to the time that this accident had occurred. Just life never aligned for us. She actually knew my ex-wife, and like we all hung out together. And then you know, it's always funny looking back, because the day that Heather and I met, I was with my girlfriend, she was with her boyfriend. We so happened to sit across from each other at the restaurant. And it was, you know, they said that you could cut the tension, you know, with a butter knife. Like it was wild how much of a connection we had, like literally just from the moment that we met. And then as life, you know, and again, I believe everything happens for a reason, because if we had gotten together back then, I don't believe we would be where we are today. I had to go through a really, really, really bad scenario with my ex, and she went through a very, 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 very bad scenario with hers. I think we both had to go through that to realize like how special we each are, and the sanctity of marriage, and just the opportunities that we have, and then just the positive things that each one of us does for the other.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to appreciate those things if you get them all the first time, and it seems like they should just be But yeah. when you don't get those things, a faithful partner or someone who cares about you, then when you get that, there's certainly, I would imagine, just a much higher gratitude, level of gratitude for receiving those things.
Yeah, man. Realizing how deep and dark that hole can get, it puts some things in perspective for sure.
Now, you mentioned a woman holding your head. That wasn't her.
That was not her. No, sir.
Some other being.
Yeah. And like I said, we couldn't find this person afterwards. Have no idea. You know, obviously, it's not something that you can just make up. But, you know, since the wreck, there's been a lot of people that have like come out and like been able to tell their side of the story. I mean, it was a big deal, right? It, you know, made national news. I mean, it was a huge deal. At the time, like I was pretty well known for a clothing organization that I was running. And so, I mean, we had three full floors full of people that were literally just there donating blood on my behalf. They had to start, the hospital staff had to start turning people away because they just didn't have enough room for people. Because, you know, where I happened to wreck, thank God, was a blood bank. Because if I hadn't wrecked near a blood bank, I, depending on the hospital, I would have bled the hospital out of my type of blood. I went through 27 units in 9 days. Your body only holds 8 to 12. So like I completely bled out like three full times in a 9 day span. So it was just a wild scenario. And again, through all that, and even through searching, like no one could ever find who this woman was and that she even existed. But I mean, this was, it was a moment in my life when I needed to know that someone cared, because as I'm laying there bleeding out, there was people getting out of their cars and actually going and getting the cash off the ground that had fallen out of my wallet during the wreck. Even had someone trying to steal my shoes and steal my pistol while I'm laying there. And so having this woman just be there to support me in what arguably could have been my last moments if I had subsided to the sleepiness that I was experiencing. There's no other way for me to explain it. It was the most tired that I had ever been in my life. And all I wanted to do was go to sleep. But in my soul, I knew that if I had actually gone to sleep, like that was it on this earth. And so, you know, I'm very thankful for that lady.
One of the things that I asked you about before this was what you focus on with your own family. And I can see how this life event would contribute to what you told me, which was living life in the moment and not through memories. So tell me what that looks like in your own family.
Yeah. So, you know, visualization is a big thing that I practice, and I do it, you know, two different ways. Well, I do it one way, but what it is I spend about 10 minutes visualizing, and I spend the first 5 minutes visualizing like where I was, and that can relate to wherever you want in your life, where I was financially, where I was geographically, where I was mentally, where I was in my business, like whatever I'm trying to like experience gratitude with. I think about like where I was to where I am. And then I spend the next 5 minutes thinking about where I am currently to where I'm gonna go. And through that process of practicing that, you know, I just do it by closing my eyes, and it looks different sometimes. Sometimes I'm in my office sitting in the chair, I'm stumped on something or I'm frustrated with something, and I just sit there. Sometimes it's coming home from the gym, you know, windows down, and you know, in the truck in the driveway, just sitting and visualizing. But it typically leads to quietness, right? Like eyes are closed, I'm not talking, I'm just letting like my mind's eye run wild. And coming in and out of that, what I've started doing, because it's such a spiritual like moment for me, that like so I'll even
you, is this prayer also at the same time, or what would you call it?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, like, you know, so I am a Christian. And so like, for me, you can't have gratitude without being thankful, you know, to God about the blessings that I've received. And that's what, you know, I don't call it like prayer, but like, it is such a spiritual, because, you know, honestly, like I'm a human too. And I have goals as well. I'm a car guy, right? So like, part of me is like hard to be like, God, please bring me this Lamborghini, you know, like, amen, you know, but like, that's where like, I have fun with my visualizations. And so like, I can tell you like what my future house looks like and what it smells like. And, you know, the grip of the steering wheel and the seat in my future cars, right? Like it's such a visual experience, and it's so real and raw that like, for me, it's so spiritual that like, when I'm done, I say amen, you know? So whether this is a conversation or not, like I said, complete silence. But it's like I said, it's such an emotional and a spiritual moment for me that like I literally say amen. And then it started developing into the point where like I wanted to recognize life where life was right now. And so what had originally started when we were living in Louisiana is I'd come home from the gym, you know, my windows are down, I'm just sitting in the truck, truck's running, I'm doing my visualization, and I'll like go and turn the car off and all that. After I'm done, I'm going to walk inside and I just stop in the middle of the yard. And like, I would just listen for all the different sounds that I would experience, cars driving to and from, you know, birds chirping, like literally just taking a moment to understand that this is life as like where we are. And I'll tell you to tell like a wild story from my motorcycle wreck.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humor. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Actually, in my book, it's called The Cardinal Story. I've been in the hospital for 6 weeks. I mean, literally, it's like a prison. There's a sliver of a window. I can't even fully see out of it. So you get a little bit of sunshine, but that's it. Well, after 6 weeks, they wheel me out in the wheelchair and we come out from under the overhang canopy and the sun, I start to come outside of the shade and the sun, like as they push me out, is climbing higher and higher up my body. And like, I don't know if like we are aware of this in our day-to-day life, but the sun has a feeling to it. Right. Like the most noticeable is if you're sunburned and you go outside and the sun hits you, like you're, man, I don't like that. Like that, it stings a little bit. It's that on like 1/1000th of the pressure. But I had been so far gone from like real life living that just the sun on my skin, I could feel. And so as they're rolling me out, I'm feeling now like the hair on my legs and the hair on my arms blowing in the wind. And so I went to just stare up in the sky to see big blue world that we live in that I had lost the opportunity to see for 6 weeks. And as I did, a red cardinal flew over me. And I realized, I don't know when the last time I had seen a red male cardinal, especially in the city in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. I didn't know. When had I seen them, and I just hadn't been slow enough in my own life to even recognize. And so like that moment changed everything for me, where I realized that like sometimes we have to slow down in life to just experience life. And I know I'm taking like a long way of like answering some of this, but that's what's translated into some of these, you know, living life in the moments and not the memories, because I've gotten to the point now, and there's some books about some of this stuff too, like positive intelligence, that I way later ended up reading, which was really cool to see it reinforce some of the things that I was already practicing. But, you know, I'm at a point now in my life where I'll recognize textures of things, right? Like every once in a while, like my mouth will rub against the microphone and like, I just feel it. It's cold, or like, you know, rub my hands around the wood grain of my desk or the pillow on the couch. And that then developed into other things. Like I said, you know, after I got done with my visualizations, I'd just stop in the middle of the yard and hear things and see all the different things that I could recognize. And it got to the point where my daughter would see me do this. Like she'd just see me standing there with my eyes closed. She's like, "Daddy, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Daddy's just listening to the birds chirp," or, you know, "Here, do this with me. Close your eyes. Can you hear frogs? Can you hear birds? Can you hear the wind?" And she's like, "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy." And like, it's so cool for me to see that like, this is something that like we can learn to recognize and then start appreciating. And it just, that practice has developed further and further as we go, to the point where like, you know, I'll hold my daughter's hand or my wife's hand and like, I'll just rub their hands and like feel like their fingerprints or their, you know, the creases in their knuckles. You know, Saturday morning, sometimes we'll let my daughter sleep with us, you know, on a Friday night. And so I'll wake up typically before they do, and they sleep closer to the window. And so like, and we sleep without blinds. So like, I'll see the sun shining through like individual strands of their hair. And like, I just get to sit there and be in the moment and just be like, this is fucking cool. Like, this is an incredible opportunity that like at one point in my life, like I prayed for moments like this. But if I had not learned to slow down and recognize these in the moments, I would be 80 years old wishing I could go back to being 36 and not take advantage of those moments.
I spoke with someone not too long ago, and we spoke about this idea of delighting in God's creation. And this person, you know, for people who live out on a farm somewhere, maybe you could argue that they have a little bit easier time seeing God's creation because they, you know, horses and trees and fields. And for those of us who live in cities, sometimes it feels more difficult. But part of the conversation included, can we look at the ants and delight in what the ants are doing, or look at a weed that's growing in between the cracks of the sidewalk and recognize its amazingness, that it's even there at all, that it's growing? And I love that idea, because I think for a lot of us, especially in American culture, we're told to be productive and efficient and, you know, be busy. And, you know, if you're not busy, what are you? You're lazy. In America, that's the opposite of busyness, is laziness. And I think that's an error. It's stealing something from us that we often don't recognize. And I would put myself in this position that I often don't recognize that I have a lot of beautiful moments in my life. And I think you mentioned this, that I just gloss over and I don't see the beautiful moments. And there's something we miss in life if we get to 80 and we actually didn't delight in any of the amazing things we got to experience. And that requires, as you mentioned, slowing down. Your idea of visualization is very interesting. Is that something, do you purposely do that every day, or you just end up doing it every day?
So I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't 100% dialed in on my current routines. I have some pretty strong routines, but this is not something that I've actively practiced every day intentionally, which is just something that I need to do. Arguably, I'll hit it 3 times a week or something, but this is something that I know needs to happen 7 days a week. Outside of that, it'll be something where I find myself drifting, whether that's too far one way, whether that's getting too complacent with where I am, or that's me feeling like I haven't done enough. And that's been something that I've been struggling with, honestly, for the last couple of weeks. In fact, I made a really big post about it yesterday, is the fact that like I have a schedule now and a routine let me back up. So like I had spent a long time building a personal brand for myself. We had major success in a marketing agency that I ran, which I have two decades of experience in, a multi-million dollar a year organization. And I had developed that business because I was leaving. I had left corporate America because I didn't want to watch my daughter grow up through a cell phone. And so I left corporate America to start my own agency. And it blew up and we had major success. And then we were doubling year over year until we were doing about $250,000 a month. And it wasn't until those few years had gone by that I realized that I traded in one pair of golden handcuffs for another, because now here I am missing, you know, I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm working 12, 14 hour days. I'm missing breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Like I'm going on business trips and leaving them behind. And so we made a major pivot in our life 2.5 years ago to literally let all that go, that entire lifestyle, and build what I currently have. Now, it's been a long, hard road, as you can imagine, shutting that down, changing the lifestyle, giving everything up, and starting over from scratch. And through that journey and through that process, you know, I had a really crazy experience over the last few weeks, because I lost one of my mentors at the beginning of this year. And one of my biggest promises to like myself and him in that whole mental state was like making his life, like me being one of the relationships he had, making his life in lifespan in my life worth it, worth being me taking up one of his introductions. And him and two other men that I look up to that are phenomenal human beings that are successful in every way, shape, and form had all basically kind of said the same thing to me three different ways within about a 3-month period. And that's when I realized that like I needed to reevaluate the path that I was going down and the reasons why. And so kind of the comment that I had made yesterday on the post was like, I'm not calling myself wise here because I'm still internally battling with this, but three very wise men had told me this was the way. And what it is, Tim, is, you know, I wake up about an hour and a half before my family, get a little bit of work done. And then we have an hour long morning routine that we do, getting everyone up. And I call it opening the house. You know, I'm like opening the blinds and turning the music on in the mornings and just waking everyone up. I get to wake my daughter up every morning. I get to wake my wife up every day. I get to exchange with the animals and stuff. And so I do that for about an hour. And then my wife and I, and when school's not in session, she goes to the childcare in the gym, but my wife and I are in the gym from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every day. And then we come home and I work from whenever we get home till about 5. And then we have our evening routine, which includes family time. And we have dinner at the dinner table every night. And then I have my evening routine with my daughter. And then I have my evening routine with my wife, and I get to do that every day. And so it's kind of hard to sit here in the moment. And I'm telling you, as being someone that is driven and is someone that has very strong work ethic, I honestly, like you battle this guilt of, oh, I could work harder or I should be working harder or whatever the case is. But then also it's like, man, I'm not getting these moments back. And if I'm 80 years old, laying on my deathbed, hopefully older than that, but like, you know, whatever the case is, looking back, like what decision would I have made or should I have made? And, you know, I feel like in the world that we're in, we're so institutionalized about you can only invest with your money into your future, but you have two strong assets, your money, but even more so your time. And so it's like, you see some of these guys, and I talk with these guys daily that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars, but they're also working 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And they're working for this eventual idea that they can retire early so they can spend time with their family. And I love that idea. And I support retiring early. Like my goal is at 45, but also what are we doing with the now? Because you're willing to invest your time to make more money, to buy more time back, to spend with your family, instead of just investing the time you have right now. Like what's to say, okay, cool, I'm cool with $1 million a year, but could I also be cool with $500,000 and go ahead and invest that time into my family so that I'm only working 30, 40, 50 hours a week instead of 60, 70, 80, 100? Because, you know, yes, what if you invested the money into something and it makes you way more money in the future based on compounding interest? Coming from someone who almost lost his life at no fault to his own, I know that we're not promised tomorrow. So like, can that happen? Yes. Do you need to plan for the future? Yes. Do you need to have investments and insurances and securities? 100%. But also going back to the main point, make sure that you're not reliving your life in the memories and you are in the moments.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing all that. I think that's an important idea that men need to live their real life right now. And especially if they have families who are relying on them and that the relationships they develop in their families are going to outlive any money that they earn in their life. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now? You've got a book, you do public speaking. What are you passionate about?
Yeah, man. So like I said, you know, I decided to shut down a multi-$1 million a year business. One of two reasons. A, like from being someone in business and you don't know what you don't know till you know it, is I had found out that I was building a multi-$1 million business the wrong way. Like I was building this business all based around me. And arguably, could we have scaled it differently and worked hard? Yes, we could have. But in that process, I also found out that this is not like, so there's a Japanese proverb called ikigai. And that is, what does the world need? What are you good at? What can you be paid for? And what fulfills you? And it's ikigai is like what checks all those boxes, right? It's this beautiful diagram. And I just realized the marketing stuff, while I was good at it and while I could get paid for it and while people needed it, it didn't fulfill me. It fulfilled me in a sense of helping people. But as I started to dive deeper into my own personal development, I realized that there was more into like helping people than just financially or with their business. And so, like I said, my three mentors had basically said the same thing within 3 months of each other, that it's, yeah, and these guys are all 35 years my senior. They all had said that they wish that they had started pouring into people sooner and they would have gone further faster. And it's not that like I want to use people to fulfill my own obligations, but it's also like the Zig Ziglar comment, like you help enough people get what they want and they will help you get what you want. And as I realized that we are all stronger together. Like, and so as we started going through this life altering, just like intra perspective shift, like I started to realize that the network that I was a part of was way stronger than just I. And so I wanted to find a way to build an organization or based around my ikigai that then also was not directly just attached to me, because I'm one person, I've got 2 decades of experience, and I feel like I'm really, really good at like 4 things. Well, you start multiplying that by several hundred guys or several thousands guys. Now you've got centuries of experience and y'all are good at hundreds, if not thousands of things. And, you know, you really start to develop a strong network of people that you can rely on for anything and everything in life. And so as I started really like putting this on the whiteboard and coming up with a business plan and a marketing strategy and finding ways to implement what I felt like the world needed and what I knew that fulfilled me into something that could be capitalized on, not just for myself, but make it a win-win-win for everyone. And so we developed Uncaged, which is a men's only accountability and business networking group. And we based it around 6 main pillars, health, wealth, and relationships being like the personal development side of things. And then making money, saving money, and saving time is like the professional development side of things. And then, of course, you break down each topic into further things, you know, like health, like, you know, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health. Like you really start breaking things down, you know, relationships, relationship with yourself, relationship with your spouse, your children, relationship with your friends, your coworkers, your business, you know, things of that nature that we start to are able to develop and dive deeper into some of these topics. But I just saw a major need for this. But more so than anything, to the root of who we are is it's an accountability group. And so the point behind that is we're a group of men that tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And so the idea is you can, obviously there's education that happens inside of the group, but we don't even look at ourselves as being competitive to any other organization, more so collaborative, because you can go over here and learn a skill set like sales or marketing or whatever the case is. You can go and learn something industry specific like roofing or solar or HVAC, and you can go learn all the things. But until you implement what you learn, none of it matters. And so we really, really built an organization and a program based around actually doing the work. Because if you're not actually like improving, even, and one of our biggest things is 1% better daily. Like even if it's just not 1% better daily, like just focus on the 1%, you know, you fast forward a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, who are you as a man? Who are you as a husband, as a father, as a business owner? And, you know, we just developed something that pays the members back tenfold than, you know, what it costs them to be a member. And it's just, it's, man, it's just been an incredible experience, and it's proven itself time and time again that this is what the world needs, specifically for men. And of course, it's not, I know this is like a, you know, a father channel, but it's not something sexist. We just believe that men need a strong, powerful place. And in fact, my wife runs a women's only like empowerment and healing group too. So like there's both aspects to that. But one of the biggest things, and I'll end with this, is, you know, we do these co-ed retreats, or we do retreats quarterly, but the co-eds are every other biannually. But even that, like, you know, when we bring a husband and a wife or boyfriend and girlfriend or fiancés in to one of these events, you know, it's it's not like what the other person needs to work on. Oh, we're going to work on our relationship. It's no, what can I do for me and what can she do for her? Because the better that I am for myself and the better she is for herself, the better we will be collectively. And so like, we're really looking at this like compounding interest of putting good people in the right rooms so that the right things can happen.
That's great. Sounds like a super needed program.
Yeah, man. It's we hear a lot of testimonials and stories about how much we truly do need this. And so it's been one of the coolest things we've ever done.
Last few months, I've heard it a couple times now, but that human connectedness or human relationships will be the currency of the future, and not in the sense of just not like we're going to just make money off people, but in the sense of that's what's going to be valued because we're already disconnected. And it seems as though at this point that the advent of AI will increase that disconnectedness even more. And maybe we won't realize it, but that our deepest yearnings will be for relationships with others.
I can fortunately and unfortunately see that as being a very real truth. And I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, well, thanks so much, Zach, for all your time today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Tim. I appreciate you having me on. And hopefully there's one person that listened to this, that this really, really meant something and gave them some sort of hope and some sort of vision and changing the trajectory of their life.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.